Great to have you along for the ride. Thanks a lot for stopping by. Always great to have this young lady on. She's a clinical psychologist, Dr. Catherine Kuhlman. Katie, how are you? Good to see you.
I am fabulous today, Joe. How are you?
Oh, you are fabulous. I agree with you, but it's kind of conceited. I mean, to say that you're, can you say you're fabulous? Psychoanalyze what you just said about yourself, Katie. Is that okay, really?
I certainly feel fabulous today.
Well, then in fact, you can say it. It is a good week, and we'll get into why it's a good week. It's an interesting week as well, news-wise. You know me, I've got to be into the news at all times, got to be up on exactly what's happening, whatever the hubbub is, whether it be Johnny Depp and Amber Heard, which we'll get into in this interview, or the Roe v. Wade alleged decision. It's not really a decision. It was an opinion that was leaked, and it was a draft opinion that's not even a done deal. But I want to get into that if you don't mind, because everybody but everybody seems to be lying about it. Those who are making the biggest noise, and those of us who understand what Roe v. Wade did in 1973, we know that this would not make abortion illegal if this draft opinion becomes the actual opinion. So let's start with this. The gaslighting that we're getting from some people in this country is that, what are they saying? Five men on the Supreme Court should not be deciding about women's rights when it comes to reproductive health, they call it. They call it health care. When if you just go to 1973, it was seven men that decided Roe v. Wade would make abortion legal. So, Katie, in a topic like this that's so divisive, and you know that they're lying about it, and maybe people think I'm lying about it too, so maybe the left looks at me and says he's lying too. How do you get the real story out there? How do you get the real truth out there? And those who are ingesting and consuming what I do and what you do when you make TV appearances, who should they believe?
Well, they should obviously believe you and I. And I don't know that there's anybody else to believe.
Exactly right.
Go on. Silly question, Joe. But I think here's the thing: is that people really need to read into the facts of what they're looking at. And we've seen this so many times. I mean, this is a very typical tactic that the left uses: is they have an ideology and they kick and they scream and they shout out disinformation, and then it becomes this groupthink. They get everybody kind of on their team. And the people who join the team have no idea what they're rooting against.
Right.
They have no clue. I want to ask all of these people, have they actually read the Supreme Court decision? Have they read Roe v. Wade?
Right.
Have they read the leak? And unless they're saying yes to both of those, then their opinion means absolutely nothing to me.
Well, and I agree with you, but you and I are analytical. We'll find out the truth. You've read Roe v. Wade. I've read Roe v. Wade. I know exactly what it says, what they found. It was really a privacy case, and that the government has no say in a woman's health care. And then they made it about abortion, but only if the baby isn't viable, which nobody seems to understand. And it also never meant partial birth abortion, and even after like 20 weeks. And the state still had the right to regulate even after the ruling happened. If Roe v. Wade goes away, which it probably will, looks like it's going to, it doesn't make abortion illegal. Like in California, it's legal. In New York, it's legal. They're protesting in those states as if it'll be illegal. Where I am in Texas, it would be illegal. So it would still be available, but states get to decide it. The fact that they didn't know that really bothers me, because now they're also violating the First Amendment by not just protesting, they're blocking roads. That's against the law. They're threatening U.S. justices from the Supreme Court. That's against the law in every state of the union. So when you've got this psychology in your mind, this psychosis, I'll call it mass formation psychosis, and you believe any garbage somebody's saying to you because you were taught to believe it, how do you deprogram somebody? Because, again, you and I are right. We've read it. We know what it actually says. We can opine about it factually. So how do you convince somebody who is so far gone in the weeds that they really think this is going to make women get abortions in the dark alley with a coat hanger?
So if I had somebody in my office that, you know, was kind of recognizing that this was bringing some emotional turmoil to them, I would use what we call in our field cognitive behavioral therapy or cognitive behavioral techniques, where basically, you know, you're saying, okay, I have this feeling, and this feeling is that I'm enraged. I'm enraged because I believe abortion is going to be illegal and Roe v. Wade is going to be completely overturned and no one's ever going to get abortion again. And what I would say to that person is, okay, is that black and white thinking? Are you catastrophizing? Are you generalizing?
Right.
You know, what kind of distorted thinking are you engaging in? And what's the evidence for what you feel and what you're thinking and what you believe to be true? And what's the evidence against it? And then once you have those two columns, you compare and contrast and you kind of come to a realization. And so what that means for that person is they're going to actually read the court decisions, both of them, and they're going to come to terms and they're going to read it as an attorney would. And then they'll learn the truth. And they'll realize, okay, I'm feeding off of, you know, what my sister is saying. I'm feeding off of what CNN and MSNBC is telling me. And I'm not, I need to step back and make a decision based on my own research.
And that's great advice, but they're never going to read it. And here's why I say that. It's Dr. Catherine Kuhlman, by the way. Go to drkuhlman.com. Dr. Kuhlman is K-U-H-L-M-A-N. I just saw a piece of video that I actually did a TikTok on with Sunny Hostin, one of the hosts from The View. She's a very smart lady. She's a lawyer. She's still got her law degree. Some people think that she does, and she does. And what she said was, it's not okay to surround like Sam Alito's house and make he and his wife go and hide and find an undisclosed location. But there might be like a light at the end of the tunnel because this might force John Roberts, the Chief Justice, to change his mind about what this ruling should be. First of all, I think the ruling was 5-4 in this draft opinion. John Roberts already was on the left. He already disagreed with it. So he can't change what the other five are doing. But the second thing that's really important here is that she's justifying or rationalizing the violation of law, federal law, by intimidating a judge, by saying we still might get the good ends that we want, doesn't matter what the means are. And then she said something like 64 or 67% of Americans don't want Roe v. Wade overturned. Katie, that's a lie. The question they're asking them is, should a woman have the right to make a decision about her body? 67% of people say, well, of course she does. But if you say, does she have the right to kill a baby in the third trimester or a baby that could viably live outside of the womb? The vast majority of Americans are against abortion in those instances. So she's lying as well, but she's very authoritative. She is a lawyer. She's very well educated. And what she said seems to make sense. You and I, however, know it's not true. What do you do with that? I mean, it would take 2 hours per person to convince them that Sunny Hostin is lying. And she knows that she's lying. She's not ignorant. She knows that she is.
Well, you know, you're right. Unfortunately, it's not like we can sit every single person down and work through it with them. It really takes people that have credibility, like Sunny, to admit, you know, what is going through their minds and admit that they're wrong. Unfortunately, that just doesn't happen a lot because people have egos and they want to save face.
Yeah.
And so it really takes the rest of Americans to do this work on their own and not always listen to the talking heads.
It's hard because you and I are talking heads to them as well, and we know that we're telling the truth. It's Dr. Katie Kuhlman. Go to drkuhlman.com, drkuhlman.com. Very interesting to me because there's got to be some sort of, I'm going to make an assumption that I can't make. Let me ask you because you're the psychologist. Is there some psychology to the fact that human beings don't really care what the means are on one of the political sides? At least I believe this. I'm sure it works on the right a little bit this way, but I think that we're more factual and more analytical on the right. But they don't care as long as it gets to what they find to be the proper end. Is there a psychology to that where you can sort of rationalize any bad behavior that you want as long as at the end of the day you get what you wanted?
Oh, yeah. And we call this term extreme overvalued beliefs, okay, which basically means a person has a belief system and they are dead set. It's very similar to ideology. And if we're going to be a little bit extreme here, I mean, that's how terrorism happens, is
right.
Terrorists have a very particular ideology and they want to make sure that destruction is caused and their message gets across. And it doesn't matter how that's done. And it's very similar. And to be honest, people on both the left and the right engage in similar tactics and have extreme overvalued beliefs. But this is one that's very near and dear to the left, is Roe v. Wade. And so they will shout disinformation. They will attempt to intimidate judges, which is absolutely horrendous, as you mentioned. They will protest and to try to get what they want. But this backfires. I mean, take a look back a couple of years ago, just a few summers ago, when there was all of the protests after George Floyd, for example, and so many cities they succumbed to protesters. They didn't look at any of the science. They didn't look at any of the literature and they didn't look at the law, and they decided to reduce funding. And now look at them. They're begging for more cops on their streets and they're saying, oh, that was a bad idea. So that's really what people need to be looking at, is like, okay, we need to take a step back here and, you know, be a little bit more flexible and realize that there's a little bit of gray area, not to be so black and white all the time.
It's Dr. Katie Kuhlman. Go to drkuhlman.com. I always appreciate your insight. One last thing on this, and then I want to move to the really important story, Johnny Depp and Amber Heard. When it comes to the left versus right stuff, you're right. The right has done it. But I also feel like the right thinks to itself, there's still a protocol. There's still a standard operating procedure, whereas the left will circle the wagons and they don't care. That's it. I'm going to support this person. Eric Swalwell was dating a Chinese spy for 5 years. He's still on these high-level committees. Adam Schiff lied about Russia collusion for years. He's still on high-level committees. Nadler changed his mind about impeachment when it came to Bill Clinton. Impeachment is wrong. Donald Trump, let's impeach his ass. And he's still the chairman of some of these committees. The left appears to me, the political left, and the liberal wing of our country, they'll circle the wagons and support their people to the bitter end. Whereas the right seems to give in, and they say it's out of being cordial, or out of protocol, or standard operating procedure. Is there a psychological difference in how people react? And some say, I got to keep it above board. I mean, we don't agree with them on this topic, but we still like them as humans. Whereas the left says, screw you, I don't care if you die a bitter death, as long as we get what we want.
I think it ultimately comes down to, I mean, the left and the right are two very different parties. You know, I've always seen the left as somebody that very much relies on government and very much relies on other people to make sure needs are met.
Yes.
And so I think that's why you see people saying, well, we need to make sure this happens so that needs get met. Whereas I feel like the right says, okay, maybe there's a problem here, but I'm going to take it upon myself to solve my problems, or I'm going to help out my neighbor rather than assuming that the government pays for everything or the government takes care of them. And I think that because we have such fundamental different perspectives when it comes to looking at life in those ways, it makes the way that we respond to these overvalued belief systems and these attempts at making change, you know, on a larger scale, so much different.
Dr. Catherine Kuhlman, I get to call her Katie, is on the program, drkuhlman.com. Let's talk about Johnny Depp and Amber Heard. I got to tell you something. They're both very good actors. We're finding that out in earnest in this trial. My wife is watching it every day, and then at the end of the day wants a recap of what she's already watched. Some of my daughters, I've got five, are watching it as well. I've watched some of it, and I was very impressed by some of his little snotty answers to the lawyers, and it's really, really intriguing television. Katie, why do we care so much? Why are we so intrigued by this?
It's so fascinating to watch. Well, usually trials are very boring to watch. And right. So I think this one is actually interesting. But think about it this way. You know, we look at celebrities, a lot of people idolize them. They idealize them. We see them as rich and famous and, you know, they must have these amazing, perfect lives. And so when we get to, you know, peel back the curtain a little bit and see what actually goes on behind closed doors, you know, and this is not just, you know, TMZ following people around. This is, you know, really just the dark crevices of their relationship and really horrible things that have come out. And when we get to see that, we think, okay, you know, maybe not everybody's perfect. Everybody's got a little bit of crazy in them, you know, and you're probably familiar with the German term Schadenfreude,
yes,
which is basically like, you know, it's not that we derive pleasure over somebody's, you know, discontent or, you know, bad life. But it does make us feel a little bit better. You know, like we can look at the end of the day, like if we wake up and nobody has pooped in our bed, we can say, okay, it was a pretty good day.
You know? That's actually so true.
Well, I mean,
it's so sordid and it's so nuts. He's like, well, yeah, I was really high on this illicit drug, or I was really, really drunk, and here I'm not sleeping, I'm passed out. And then she's pooping in the bed. But they're also beautiful people. They're the beautiful people that are living beautiful fantasy lives. Do we derive some sense of pleasure out of seeing them as not only regular people, but they've got real problems too?
Oh, yeah. It oftentimes probably makes us feel a little bit better about ourselves because, right, you know, I want to be rich and famous, right? I would love to have all of that money. But when I look at that, I'm thinking, well, maybe that doesn't solve every problem.
Right.
And it's a good reminder, I think, to the world. And then I think about, like, I love trashy reality TV. It's the way that I unwind at the end of the day. It makes me feel really good about my life decisions. And right, I think that we're watching this Johnny Depp trial and we're thinking, okay, I think I'm doing okay. We've made good decisions for myself.
Is there anything to the psychology of him trying this case now in Virginia, where I guess the Washington Post is, and that's why he's doing, because she did that op-ed or whatever. But he lost something in England where he tried to go after her there. But now in this one, they're so well prepared. It makes her look like she's not only not the victim, she's the aggressor and he was the poor victim. Now she's on the stand and we'll see where they go with that. But is there something to him going back at her? Do you think, and maybe you don't want to comment because it's a legal question, but do you think that he's doing it to really get his livelihood back, or is he doing it to save face because he took such a beating and lost so much when she did the op-ed and he lost at England or wherever he did it the first time?
I think we could, you know, hypothesize about the many reasons he did this. You know, the easy answer is that he wants to clear his name, you know, but you're right. I mean, maybe he's doing this because it's to save face,
yeah,
and he wants, you know, the he doesn't want to be looked at in this negative light. Maybe it's an ego thing. Maybe, you know, if what she's saying is true and he was abusive, typically abusers are narcissists, and this would be a huge narcissistic injury to him, and it's a way to get back at her. You know, I don't know that that's the story that I'm personally buying, having watched the trial and listening to a lot of the testimony, but, you know, it could go any way.
Well, in watching it with your expertise and your education, can you tell if somebody's making it up? Look, he's really believable. But again, I thought he was Donnie Brasco. I thought that he was Captain Jack. So he's really believable in just about anything he does. Does this appear to really, to you, does this appear to be the real guy, Johnny Depp, and he's believable or not?
I want it to be. I like him. Like, if you were to say, are you Team Johnny or are you Team Amber right now? Right now, I'm Team Johnny.
I think almost everybody is, to be honest.
Yeah. And we'll see, you know, she's still going to be on the stand for quite a bit longer, and maybe that will change. So who knows, but it's difficult to tell because, of course, as you mentioned, these are two very good actors.
Right.
That doesn't mean they're acting all the time, but it certainly means that they can flip that switch and they can act the way that they need to act on the stand. And the way that Johnny has really, you know, presented himself has been well thought out. He's been very personable and likable with the way that he's kind of snapped back at some of the attorneys and the little jokes that he makes, but it's not over the top. It's not disrespectful.
Right.
It's just kind of funny. So we like that. And then on the contrary, we see Amber Heard as this like overly emotional, really kind of sensitive. It's difficult for her to find her words sometimes.
Right.
Her stories don't always match up. And so then we don't like that as humans. So, you know, who knows, but this will be a movie one day, and I can't wait to watch it.
Oh yeah. And what would be funny is if they both starred in it. It is, it's Katie Kuhlman, Dr. Katie Kuhlman. Go to drkuhlman.com, KUHLMAN.com. You'll see her on network television all over the place. She's doing a great job in that aspect. It's always interesting to me to find out the inner workings of the mechanics of the human brain, what draws our attention and what doesn't. Sometimes you think this is definitely going to be huge and nobody watches it. And other times, oh, Johnny Depp is suing her again, and everybody can't get enough of this thing. It's very interesting. Katie, thanks for going there to the entertainment side and not always the hard news stuff. And also explaining, you know, how people react to a decision like Roe v. Wade and that leak and the protests. I know that you're traveling soon. Police week. It's law enforcement week, right?
This week is National Police Week in Washington, D.C., so we will be honoring all of the officers who were killed in the line of duty really over the past 2 years, because last week it was skipped due to COVID. So it's going to be a huge number of people there, departments all across the country, thousands and thousands of people. And so yeah, say a prayer for everybody that's making the trip to D.C. this week and the families that continue to grieve.
And God bless you for your work with first responders. Come back soon. We have her on at least once a month and even more if something breaks. It's Dr. Katie Kuhlman. Katie, thanks a million. I appreciate you.
Have a great one, Joe.
All right. We're back after this. Stay right here.